Blog Talk Radio.
There's a place dear to me where I'm longing to be with my friends at the old country church. There with mother we went and our Sundays were spent with my friends at the old country church.
Precious years of memory, oh what joy they bring to me. How I long once more to be
with my friends at the old country church. As a small country boy, how my heart beat with joy when I knelt in the old country church. And the Savior above, by his wonderful love, saved my soul in the old country church.
Precious years of memory, oh what joy they bring to me, how I long once more to be
with my friends at the old country church. All my thoughts make me weep, for so many now sleep in their graves near the old country church. And sometime I may rest with the friends I love best in a grave near the old country church.
Precious years of memory, oh what joy they bring to me.
With my friends at the old country church.
Well, good morning, everyone, and greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Let us go to the Father in prayer. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, once again, as we open your word, we're seeking for the presence of the Holy Spirit, Father, to be with us, to give us guidance, Father, and take us into the depth of the truth of this, your word, Father, so that we can grow stronger and closer in our walk with you. Now, Father, be with us throughout the remainder of this service, and we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. We're going to be speaking to you this morning from 1 Corinthians chapter 2. But first, I've got a little something else to share with you, because in this day and time in which we are living, we all know that we're living in the last days of time. We don't know just how close the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ is for his coming for the church. But we know we don't have the time that we really think we've got. But we know that no one knows the day, the hour, the year he's coming. But he's told us and gave us things to watch for. And told us, he said, when you see these things begin, look up, your redemption draweth nigh. Well, those things have been going on for a while. And just how much longer he'll wait, we don't know. But I was reading this at home, and I thought this is just a good few verses to share with the church. Psalms 4. Hear me when I call, O God, of my righteousness. Thou hast enlarged me when I was in distress. Have mercy upon me and hear my prayer. O ye sons of men, how long will you turn my glory into shame? How long will you love vanity and seek after leasing? Selah. but know that the Lord has set apart him that is godly for himself. The Lord will hear when I call unto him. Stand in awe and sin not. Commune with your own heart upon your bed and be still. Shelah. There be many that say, who will show us any good? Lord, lift thou up the light of thy countenance upon us. Thou hast put gladness in my heart, more than in the time that their corn and their wine increased. I will both lay me down in peace and sleep. For thou, Lord, only makest me dwell in safety. That is actually a prayer. And it's a good one. It's one a lot of us really needs to be thinking about. Because, as I said, we don't have long. And those that are not ready when he comes for the church, he's not going to make it. So many people think, you know, we've got all kinds of time. Our time's about run out. Because basically, mankind is walking further and further away from God every day. Especially here in our country. Those three ministers I pray for in Pakistan, they send me videos of their meetings. They're so much different than ours. We can't hardly get people into the church today here in our land. And here, right here in the county where we live. On my way this morning, I passed by a couple of the churches. One of them had two cars. You know, and another one I think had three. Because people, you can't get them out. They just don't want to get out and go to church. Pakistan, a communist country. Their meetings that they're holding over there are so large, they can't even hold them in a building because they don't have a building large enough to hold them. They're holding them in fields. They don't even have seating. They have to stand. So when they are preaching there, they're preaching to between 25 and 30,000 at a time. A communist country.
Muslim country, right?
Yep.
Not communist.
Yeah, it's both. It's got both. But it's Muslim too, yes. And if you're caught there, a lot of places there, if you're caught there teaching the Word of God, it means jail and death. And yet, their congregations are running that large.
India, too. I have pastors in India. I have pastors that are in Saudi Arabia teaching.
So, oh, yeah.
We have where it's forbidden, it'll grow. But well, we're here where it's open and no one can get nobody to show up.
Well, they're listening to man instead of God. That's exactly what's the matter. They let this pandemic with this mask wearing scare them to death. And they're listening to man instead of listening to the Word of God. Anyway, we're going to be getting into 1 Corinthians, the 2nd chapter. This morning. Give you just a moment to get there. All right. Verse 1. And I, brethren, when I come to you come not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom, which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him. But God has revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man, which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually disconcerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who has known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. And may the Lord add his blessing to the reading of this, his word. And now as we back up here to these first two verses here, that's Paul letting you and I know how he stands. Now, how many of us can say that we actually stand the same way? That we really stand spiritually instead of standing with the things of this world out here? Because that's what most are doing today. They're letting things of this world come between them and Almighty God. We let family. We let pleasure. We let work. And all stand between us and God. But one day when we step out of this life and into the next, he's not going to accept a lot of those excuses, because when we become a child of God, right then he has a work for us. But are we doing the work he's got laid out for us? Or are we doing other things? Well, mostly doing other things. I was talking to a friend of mine just the other day about coming to the church and visiting with us. But he'd rather go play golf. God's not going to accept that as an excuse. He'll let golf take him to hell. Because when we bring anything, it doesn't matter what it is, we bring anything between us and God, that will get us in trouble. But we got so many doing it today, just letting all kinds of things get in there. You see, that's one thing about Paul. Paul lets you know things of this world just don't bug him at all. And that's what we need. Well, you know, I've got to work because I've got to do this and I've got to do that and I've got to do something else. Yeah, but you need to put your trust in God and let him give you work that won't come between him and you. But most of us don't, do we? I've worked all my life. I worked and traveled and preached as an evangelist. I worked and made my own living. It didn't come between me and him. Because there are ways of doing things. Most of us just don't want to find it. Because, well, you know, I'm satisfied where I'm at, so I'll just stick there. But what's it costing you? What kind of price will you end up paying for it? That's a whole lot of what is in this message this morning. Now, verse 3. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. Well, we know that when God called Paul, Paul wasn't a good man, was he? He'd been going after everybody that followed after the Lord Jesus Christ, both men and women both, taking them back to imprisonment and death. He was standing, giving his voice when the first deacon of the Bible was stoned to death. You think, well, why would God want to call a man like that? See, God knew him. He knew he'd stand just as hard for him as he had stood against him. And that's what we all need to be. We all need to grow to the point to where we are willing to give our own lives for him. He gave his for us. Now we have to be willing to give our lives for him. Most won't. If it costs them anything at all, they don't want to pay the price. And Paul goes on here and he says, and my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. There's a lot of us that God has called that we don't use those big expensive words, highly educated words, because for the most part, most of us that God has called are country boys. And we just don't use them kind of words. But that's why we're finding a lot of our churches today here in our land where we've got a few that has congregations of 2,000 to 3,000. But that's because they're not hearing the word of God. They're hearing enticing words. Words to scratch their itching ears. They've brought men in that will speak what they want to hear. Don't step on my toes, because you do, you ain't going to last very long. men that will actually stand up and give you the truth of God's word are few and far between today. And a lot of them will tell you, I can't preach a lot of things because if I do, I'm going to lose my congregation. So they go on teaching tradition and words that is contrary to God's word in order to hold on to their congregation and yet losing their own soul. But you can't get them to believe it because Satan has got into them so deep and so bad that they actually believe the stuff they teach and believe that they're all right and they're on their way to heaven and just as lost as they can be. You know, God warns us about all things. Most of the time we just don't listen. We don't pay attention when he speaks. He goes on here now and says, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. This is where our mind should be. Should be on the things of the kingdom of God and not on things of this world out here. I can honestly stand here and tell you, I don't miss a thing of this world out here. I don't miss none of it. I can sit in my living room with my Bible and spend a little time in it and talking with my Lord, and I'm well satisfied. And I've got all the joy I need. I can sit there and praise him. I don't need to be out here in this world. Only like this. In his house. To share his word with others. That's why we're making this change here in this church. You say, why do you want to do that? No more than you got coming. Why do you want to do that? Well, because he told me to. And for another one, I'll be here when I'm needed. Instead of being out here in this world doing things that I shouldn't be doing. Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to know. The things of this world out here and the prince of this world, Satan and his demons that's out here, that's got most people wrapped up today, will bring you to know. Brings you to nothing. Except putting you on your way for a seat in hell. But we just don't listen. Verse 7. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory. Pardon me. Now, You know, this world out here is filled with so much evil. And it's got into the church and the people in the church. Today, the divorce rate among church-going people is the same as it is out in the world. Think about that. A great evil. And it's just as much in the church as it is in the world. Most of our places today have went along with abortion. All right to kill you unborn babies. Now they're even wanting to be able to kill them after they're born. Just because they're not wanted. And we've got too many standing in our podiums today trying to teach God's word that's got two and three living wives. And then a lot of their wives have got two or three living husbands. So you got multiple times of adultery. And yet, they're trying to teach you the word of God? No. They're going to teach you a lot of things that are contrary to God's word, because that's the way they're living, and they're not about to tell you about that. I know several of them. I know one right now. Got three living wives, and his wife's got two living husbands. Five times of adultery. Think about that. Homosexuality. Not a sin anymore to a lot of our churches. It's an alternate lifestyle. It's all right. So you shouldn't preach against it. God said it's an abomination to him. But here in our land where we live, they're accepting it. Now, I know that y'all have bound to heard part about this. They're wanting to teach our children from 5 years old on, 5 years up, that they can choose to be whatever sex they want to be. It don't matter what God made them. But it's all right if they want to choose to be different. And your Islamic countries won't put up with that. Even. We have gone so far out of the way of God today because we don't want to walk according to his word. We want to do things our way. Well, you all serving as long as not. It don't bother what I do, and it don't bother me. It don't stop me from doing this. It don't stop me from doing that. Y'all all serving. No, you won't. Because he won't have you like that. You see, for you and I to be that born-again child of the living God, we've got to be dedicated. Our life has to be dedicated to him. He is first. He'll not be second to no one or to nothing. He's either going to be first in your life, or he's not going to be there at all. Think about that. Now, here's verse 8. Paul says, which none of the princes of this world knew. Now, we know Satan may know a whole lot about what's going on in heaven and the spiritual world, but he don't know it all. But none of them, he said, knew. For had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Satan thought he had things all taken care of when they was putting Jesus on the cross. Was killing him. Oh, he had it made. That's what he thought. But you see, if he had known what it was going to be bringing about, he'd have got out of their heads, and Jesus may not even been crucified, because it was his own people that done it. Roman soldier nailed him there, but it was his own people that cried out. Even Pilate told him that he could find no fault in the man. It was the Jews that cried out, crucify, crucify. Then they took a murderer in his place. And today, we're trading him for a lot of things. He's being traded for an automobile. He's being traded for a house. He's being traded for a few moments of what we think is pleasure or fun. Or for a few drinks that we ain't supposed to have.
Game of golf.
You know, there is a drink that actually you can drink with God's blessing. As long as you take a drink. But you have to quit there. But he tells you to drink no strong drink. So you want to leave that whiskey alone. Whiskey and bourbon and stuff that way? No, leave it alone. But you can take a little wine. He tells you, take a little wine for your stomach's sake. Just a little bit of wine. Even once a day is good for your stomach. It's good for digestion. It's even good for the blood. Now, I don't drink it because I don't like it. And I never did drink whiskey because I didn't like it either. I worked at a distillery. And I worked at what they call a bull gang in the warehouse. And they always kept a barrel that they called a leaker. That was so they could go through the day and get them a cup full and drink it every now and then. I never did drink it because I never did like it.
Drank whiskey, but I never drank beer. I never liked beer.
I was the other way around. I liked the beer. That was my problem. I liked the beer. And I drank too much of it. Until the good Lord took it away from me. I had got up to the point that I was drinking 30 cans a day and staying cold sober.
That's more than one can an hour.
Huh?
That's more than one can an hour for every day.
I drove a police cruiser with an open can sitting on the console. That's the honest truth. But the good Lord took it. thank him for that. He took it. Now, here in verse 10, but God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. And you know, that's something today that in most of our churches we're not taught anything about. Most of your churches today, denominational churches, don't teach you anything about the Holy Spirit of God. They don't teach it. And they'll make fun of you.
We don't believe that here.
And especially if you speak in tongues. You speak in tongues, and they'll make all kind of fun of you and talk about you.
There's no interpretation.
And yet we're supposed to, you know. Now, tongues is something that needs to be controlled in the church. We're told how to use it. We're told what it's for and how to use it. Actually, the gift of tongues that's given to us is given to us for our own edification. When we're by ourselves and we just you and God get together, then let the Spirit take over. When he does, he'll speak with tongues. He knows what you need. And he'll pray for it before you do even. And we're told that in the church, if you're going to let it happen in the church, let it be by two or three at the most. And then let one interpret. And if there be no interpreter, then you don't do it. You keep quiet. You see, we're told how to do everything we need to do and how to control things. But it's not being done, is it? Look around and think about different places you've been. I've been in a lot of different churches. In fact, the 3 years that God had me working as an evangelist, he put me in some odd places. I preached in the Nazarene church. I've preached in Baptist churches. I preached in one that if looks would have killed you, I'd have been dead a long time ago. And it was the preacher's wife that was giving me the looks I was getting. He was a customer of mine, and he knew that I was running the service station at the time, and the church was right behind me. I never did look at that sign to ever even see what kind of church it was. I just knew he was back there, and he bought gas from me all the time. And he invited me back to preach for him on a Wednesday night. He asked me if I was engaged anywhere, and I told him, I said, no, not right now. He said, well, will you come preach for me Wednesday night? I told him, I said, well, I don't know why not. So I got around that evening, got ready, pulled in right beside the sign. Never did look at it. I parked right at the sign. Got out and went in. The only one I knew there was him. He introduced me all and got me started. Man, I finished the service, standing out front talking to one of the deacons. But while I was preaching, the last row back, there was a woman sitting back there. And you could tell she was madder than a hornet. And if it looks at the kids, I'd have dropped dead. And the service over, and I was standing out on the front steps, talking with one of the deacons, He said, kind of rough on our pastor today, wasn't you? I told him, I said, I don't know, was I? He said, yeah, you just preached against everything he preaches for. I told him, I said, well, that'd be between him and the good Lord. About that time, this woman walked by. And I asked, Deacon asked him, I said, who's that lady there? He said, that's the preacher's wife. I knew then why I was getting the looks I was getting. But you know, I went on out to the car and got in the car and I went to back up and I looked at that sign. It was an independent fundamental Baptist church. They don't believe in nothing. Actually, when it comes to the word. They only attend one sometimes. But you know, it wasn't but a month or so later, I had gotten home from work. I told my wife, told her, I said, I'm going to take my Bible and go in the bedroom. So I went in there. Hadn't been there a few minutes. The good Lord come to me and, with a vision. And he showed me this church. It belonged to Brother Chapel. That was pastor's name, was Chapel. And he showed it to me. They was building an addition on the side of it. That went away. Then they showed it all closed up with the windows and doors bolted. And he told me, he said, you go and tell Brother Chapel that if he'll go to the church and pray for the answer that he's been looking for, it'll be given to him. Now he's telling me to go and tell a preacher what I've seen in this vision and to go to the church and pray. And I'm supposed to tell one who don't believe in none of that. But I come out and I started through the house. Wife asked me, says, where are you going? I said, well, I got to go see a man. And out I went. He had told me where he lives, so it wasn't that far away or nothing. I pulled up. The guy out of the car went and knocked on the door. His wife come to the door. She didn't speak. She didn't say hello or nothing. She just looked at me. I asked her, I said, Brother Chapel here? She hollered for him. He come to the door. He said, come on in. I said, no, you come out here. I knew I wouldn't want it in there. And I knew I'd be less wanted when I got done. Anyway, he come out. And I told him what I'd seen about the church, about them building an addition onto it and all. And I told him, I said, I was told to tell you, if you'll go to the church and pray for the answer you've been seeking, it'll be given to you. He looked at me and he said, well, will you go with me? I said, no. He didn't tell me to. He said, well, I'm going to follow you down. And he did. A month later, they was building the addition on to that church. He was preaching as much the truth of the gospel as I was. He had changed that much. That quick. A year later, God took him home. But he left this world ready. And his wife, even after he was gone, she wouldn't have passed me on the street. She'd have seen me on the street. She'd have went to the other side. Because she never would forgive me. But these are things that we need to stop and think about. because they do happen. And the stronger you walk with God, the more Satan is going to come against you. And the more people he'll bring against you. And you'll have some of your closest friends stand up and laugh at you. They'll tell lies on you and lie about you and laugh at you. Your family will do the same thing. I know. I've been down that road too. The Lord put me in a lot of places and taught me a lot of things that I had been taught didn't exist. I was taught that none of the gifts of the Spirit worked anymore. That all died when the apostles died. No, it just got started then. That's when it got started, really. Because it's that power that's supposed to be working through us. Every one of us has got that kind of power. If you are a born-again child of God, you've got that kind of power. You've got to get your faith set right. Your faith has to be set on the Lord Jesus Christ, and your trust has got to be in God. And once that's done, you'd be surprised what you can accomplish. Just like with that prophecy that I gave Dan. Dan, come here to church. Come here to this altar. Cried like a baby. Asked God to forgive him for something he had done. He got up after service. He told me, he said, you know, he said, I want to be a part of your church. He said, I'd like to take care of your music. He's a good musician. And he said, I can come and sing for you. And he said, you know, I've got all the equipment. And he does. He owned a business, married, and had a family. He didn't come back. A couple of services later, he still hadn't come back. I was praying, and I pray for all of you all every night. Before I go to bed, go to sleep, I pray for you, Dennis. I pray for Kenny. I pray for Terry. I pray for James. I pray for all of you. And I was praying for Dan. The Lord told me, he said, you go tell him if he don't keep his word, he's going to lose everything he's got. Well, I got up the next morning. I went to hunt him. I found him. I told him, I said, Dan, I got something I got to tell you. I don't know what you'll do with it, but I'm supposed to tell you. Well, he asked me, he said, well, all right. So I told him. I told him, I said, God said if you didn't keep your word, you're going to lose everything you've got. 3 months. It was all gone. His business, he wasn't even allowed in it. He's not allowed to even go in there. His wife's done divorced him. He's got no family now. He's just bouncing around from one friend to another without any place really to call his own. God don't play. He don't play games. And if we try playing games, we're going to wind up in trouble. That's right. And that's like he told me what to do at this church. I'm going to do it. There may not be a soul will ever come. I don't know. But he's got a reason for it. So I'm going to get started. I just went yesterday and spent $184. I got stuff to make the new sign and all. In fact, it's right back there on the back pew. And I was telling you I wanted to make it out of board and leave the boards their color. And later it was black paint, you know. And then after I get them painted, then I'm going to spray it with clear acrylic so that they'll last better, you know. But I'm going to do what I told him I'd do. This church will be open every evening. I'll get here probably around 4 o'clock, because I'll be here now, since the weather's breaking. I'll be here even way before that most days, because I've got a lot of work here to do. But at 6 p.m., we will have prayer service. That'll be followed by Bible study. Every day, Sunday, you'll have Sunday morning service, Sunday evening. But this church will be open every day. Now, God's got something in mind. I don't know what. But he's got something in mind, so we'll find out what it's all about. Maybe that's his way of getting me moved. I don't know. But whatever it is, we're going to get it going and get it started. I got 200 more handbills. I'm getting ready to go get stamps so we can stamp them and get them out this next week. James is going to help me. He's going to go with me and we're going to put them in mailboxes, you know, all in through here. And takes 182 right in through here. But then I want to put some out in Akron, too. Little town of Akron. I'm going to get some out there, too. All right. We're going to wind up here now. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. And this is what we've been talking about. Now you see it right there in God's word. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. You see, unless you are a born-again child of God, you can't understand his word. And he's telling you. He's telling you that himself. Yet, mankind just don't want to believe in anything today, hardly. 15, but he that is spiritually judges all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. You see, we don't have to stand judgment by no other man if you are a born-again child of God. Well, they think they judge you, but they don't, because we don't have to accept it. Because for one, you and I are to have the mind of Christ. And that's why we spend time in church. Because the only way you can get the mind of Christ is to know the Word. Because what is the Word of God? I'm going to let you think about that for a minute. What is the Word of God? The Word of God is God. And His Word tells you so. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He goes on to even tell you that the Word was made flesh and dwelt among men. We all know when that happened, don't we? Most of us don't think of the Word as being that important, and that's why they don't hear it when it's preached. And if it's preached about something that they don't want to understand, they're not going to accept it. They just laugh it off and laugh at you and go on about their business.
Like when you pray, you read the Bible afterwards out loud. You know, you hear stuff, well, I never heard God won't start reading the Bible out loud.
That's right.
When God will speak to you.
And not only that, but I did find out, you know, I was telling you all about that. And I when I first heard that, I had never really thought about it. And yet, I know it talks to me when I'm reading it out loud in a church. But as far as sitting at home reading, I hadn't thought about it. And I was told by a preacher on TV, was talking about it. I thought, I'll try that. And I did. And I hadn't got nowhere until he started speaking with me and revealing things to me as I was reading. The Spirit was letting me know things that was a little deeper than what I was understanding with it. It does work. All right, let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, as we close your word, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for the Holy Spirit. And Father, we thank you for a place and time that we can come together to share your word. And Father, your saints, wherever they are in the world, we ask the Holy Spirit to keep them safe, keep them in health, and see to their needs. Jerusalem and Israel, Father, we pray for peace for them. But even more than that, we pray for them to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, as their Messiah. And Father, we know that Israel right now is having very little peace. And we do earnestly pray and seek peace for them. Now, Father, this land of ours, the land that has turned its back and walked so far away from the Lord Jesus Christ, from the church, from your word, and without any excuse whatsoever, help us, Father, to replace those in government that has taken the Lord Jesus Christ out of every place he was in and is standing against our church and against your people. And help us to replace them with those, Father, that will work for your church, that will work and help us put Jesus back in the places where he was. And will work with us to help us put our land back upon the foundation in which it was founded, and that being your word and the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, our prayer list, as each name is mentioned, we ask the Holy Spirit to touch that one. Father, make them whole and fulfill whatever need they have, whether it be spiritual, physical, or financial. Father, Kenny, Dennis, Terry, James, and myself, Lord, we all stand in need of a touch from the Holy Spirit. Touch us and use us in mighty and great ways. For Mark Pavlik, for Amy, Amy's husband Tom, Amy and Tom's young son Jacob, for Dennis Breed and his wife Tina, for the brothers in Christ in Brandenburg, Pastor Smalls and the Glory Bound Church, Pastor Randy Johnson, Church of God of Brandenburg, for the Meade County General Baptist Church, the pastors there, Pastor Don Hilton, Pastor Alan Thomas, Pastor Tony Galladay, Pastor Eric and his wife Jackie, that little Full Gospel Church of God there at Akron. Father, these churches, make them lighthouses to the community in which they stand. And Father, fill them to overflowing with the Holy Spirit. And these ministers, Father, keep them full of the Holy Spirit so that they can lead these churches and continue on the pathway of righteousness. Now, Father, for my three friends overseas, Pastor Haroon Islam, Pastor Barak Mishai, Pastor Zephyrin Iron, Father, keep them safe, keep them in health, and see to their needs. For Jimmy Embry, Sharon Mombillo, and her mother, for Sue and for David, for Kelly Smith, and for Karen, Father, these all stand in need of a touch of thy mighty hand. Touch them, make them whole, Father, and bring them to the foot of the cross and to the Lord Jesus Christ so that they not be lost, Father, and they can all make heaven their home. Now, Father, this church, it's yours, it's not mine. You put me here as overseer. Now make it what you want it to be, Father. And we ask all of this in that sweet, precious name of Jesus. Amen. All right. Remember, God willing, we can all be together again at 6 p.m. Eastern Time this evening. So until then, have a great day. Bye-bye now. And remember, services will be at 6, not 5.
All right.